The Natural News Store is now open. Hi, this is Joni Cox with Homegrown Health with some great news for your health and your budget. Visit shopnaturalnews.com to start saving money right now on superfoods like cacao, camu camu, and acai. You'll find coconut flour, coconut sugar, and hemp seeds, as well as detox products like Zeotrex, Oxy Powder, and Nascent Iodine. You'll also find survival organic food supplies and colloidal silver. Both can help you prepare for natural disasters or other events that might threaten your health or safety. As Hurricane Sandy recently taught America, just one storm can knock out the power grid and leave us all scrambling for food and medicine. We've also got amazing herbal medicine cabinets and herbal survival kits. Plus, we're the exclusive source for the all-new Natural Attitude Turmeric Extract. It's a powerful, alcohol-free, liquid form of turmeric with high absorbability. Plus, get free shipping in the USA on orders of $99 or more. A portion of all sales helps fund health freedom and food freedom initiatives. Find all this and much more at shopnaturalnews.com. That's shopnaturalnews.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Hey, kids. Nick Brannigan here. Thank you for tuning in to Health Conspiracy Radio on naturalnews.com. Very, very special and unique show I have for you today. But before we get into that, let me talk about some of my sponsors. We got the Naturally Organic Healing Center. If you're in Las Vegas, come check them out on Charleston and Buffalo. My friend JC Cox is celebrating 2 years. 2 years now open as a consciouspreneur and serving the community. If you are in the Las Vegas area, make sure to check them out. If you're outside of Las Vegas, you can order some of their exclusive original products and supplements at naturallyorganiccenter.com. Again, if you're in Las Vegas this Saturday, October 31st, we are celebrating the two-year anniversary party with the same way we celebrate every month, with a raw vegan potluck. So if you are new to raw veganism, or if you're not new and want to bring one of your specialty dishes, come on out. The food's always great. I've never went there and said, man, I really didn't enjoy what I ate. There's always a good variety of stuff. There's always some really awesome dishes. Of course, I'll be there. And, yeah, check them out, naturallyorganiccenter.com. Also, Dr. Soumya Sridharan from LasVegasHomeopathy.com. Actually, I'll be next week's show on Natural News, which should be available on HealthConspiracy.com by the time you hear this, is JC and Dr. Soumya. So it's really awesome to get to interview two of my friends and sponsors back-to-back. But Dr. Soumya, her website, again, is LasVegasHomeopathy.com. Make sure to check her out. She'll give you Skype consultations if you are outside of Las Vegas. If you're in Las Vegas, she is on Washington and Buffalo. She was telling me she had a guy from New Jersey call her to set up Skype consultations. No referral, He just completely organically found her via the internet and liked the testimonials on there and liked the website. So the point is, if you're outside of Las Vegas, you don't have to miss out on treatment from a real homeopathic doctor. But again, if you're in Las Vegas and you're listening to this, November 1st, 2 o'clock at Jacques Cafe in Summerlin, we're hosting an event, Health is Where the Heart Is. And Dr. Somi will be giving a talk along with another young woman by the name of Janet Burton, who will be going over some spices that will support heart health. So please come to the event. It's a free talk. JC's event is also free. And that's the thing, is we set up these awesome talks and we never charge for them. So yeah, come check her out. But again, inside Las Vegas, outside of Las Vegas, LasVegasHomeopathy.com is the website. Go to Dr. Somia and get a consultation, and she will help you with your ailments. If you don't have any specific ailments, but you just want to get healthier, go to her as well. She's, you know, being an actual doctor and the smartest person I know in Las Vegas on health and nutrition, she is as good as any health coach that you can go to. Who else do we have? Oh, of course, Vegination. Vegination. They are on 7th and Carson, the first restaurant, as far as I know, in America to hire a non-GMO menu consultant. Maybe Chipotle might have when they went non-GMO, but first independent restaurant to do that. Hire someone locally within the community to go over the menu and try to make everything as GMO-free as possible. So it's still a work in progress, but if you want to go down to Vegination, they have some of the best vegan food that you're going to have. And it's that's the cool thing about Las Vegas is now we have Go Vegan Cafe, Vegination, and Violet's Vegan, and all menus are totally different. So if you're trying to get some good non-GMO vegan food, you have a lot of options. But my favorite place, and I'm biased, is Vegination, but I like the other places too. So go down there, get some great food from Chef Donald. If you're in Las Vegas, sign up for their newsletter at VeginationLV.com. You get the not really specials, but they give you the heads up on what's going on before social media, and you always hear about the special events that they have there. So VeginationLV.com is the website for that. If you can go to HealthConspiracy.com, click on those affiliate links to the Global Healing Center. Any purchases you make through Dr. Ed Group and the Global Healing Center through the affiliate links on HealthConspiracy.com go to directly support this show. So that is always appreciated. And I got my bottle of Detoxidine here. Funny thing, actually, interviewing Dr. Somia yesterday, I stopped taking all supplements just to see how I felt. And I just started taking, excuse me, I went about a week, or excuse me, about 2 weeks, and I started taking probiotics again. The brand I got through the Global Healing Center. Actually, let me grab the bottle. And just the thing is, the CFU count is very low on this, but I'm still feeling a difference already. So I started taking the Lotero Flora, which it says guaranteed minimum million microorganisms. So when I'm reading Dr. Kelman's book, The Microbiome Diet, he says get at least 50 billion to 2 billion, and we're over here working with a million. But anyway, I've already noticed a difference in my digestion and bowel movements just by re-adding in those probiotics. And also have the Detoxidine, and I've been taking their nascent iodine steadily for over a year now. Maybe closer to 2 years. It's been a while. But anyhow, Dr. Somia, after our interview yesterday, said, let me see your tongue. She goes, you are iodine deficient. So I'm back on the Detoxidine today, and she said actually take 3 times the amount. So that is, the serving size is 3 drops. You get 200 per container. But I'm taking 3 times the amount because I was told to by a homeopathic doctor. So like it says in the bottle, consult your healthcare provider before taking. Oh, that's if you're pregnant or nursing. But anyway, yeah. So we're going to see how I feel. I was on Amazon.com just looking up some of the reviews. And one guy was saying that he was always groggy, and then now he just wakes up early in the morning, wide awake. And then he would start waking up in the middle of the night wide awake, which means he needed to scale back on his iodine from his own self-assessment. But yeah, I'll be taking it 3 times a day. But if you, yeah, the point is you want to get the most of America's iodine deficient, so you can directly support Health Conspiracy Radio by clicking on the Global Affiliates, Global Healing Center affiliate link on there and making your purchase through the Global Healing Center. And they're high quality products too. Otherwise, I wouldn't be promoting them and supporting them. And also go to healthconspiracy.com and sign up for the newsletter. I haven't sent a newsletter in a couple months, but they are going to be back on a weekly basis. And I should have a new show coming up soon on talknetwork.com, The Organic Movement. So it'll be a show in addition to this show on Health Conspiracy Radio. And Health Conspiracy Radio will go up twice a week. But just stay up to date to healthconspiracy.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll be explaining all the new awesome things I'll be getting into and all the changes coming up through radio. So, yeah, it looks like sometime in November you're going to have over 7 hours of radio from yours truly. So I'm very excited about that. I hope you are too. And also share this broadcast with your friends and family. I really didn't get into it, but yeah, it's a special edition. The extended version is on healthconspiracy.com, and the extended version is uncensored. And it's through with Benny Wills of Joy Camp and Liam Sheff from The Oil Alarm and Official Stories, and we talk about monogamy and marriage, something we normally wouldn't talk about. But let's get into it right now. Nick Brannigan, healthconspiracy.com, Health Conspiracy Radio, coming at you.
Is there a health conspiracy? You can bet your bottom dollar. Genetically modified food, poison in your tap water, toxic, tainted, and abused meat and dairy, ingredients of mass destruction, poisonous pesticides and herbicides, deep psychological propaganda, food that makes your children go crazy. Do you think the FDA is meant to protect you? And just what in the world are they spraying in the skies? You have been a victim of mass programming. But it's never too late. Learn how to successfully make changes that last, leading you to a new life of health and vibrancy that most will never experience. Over the next hour, allow Nick Brannigan to share with you his research, expertise, and life experience. This is Health Conspiracy Radio.
Hey, Nick Brannigan here with Health Conspiracy Radio. And we have an interesting show today. Earlier this year, I had a show with two guests, and one of them's laughing right now. I don't know what he thinks so funny. First half of the show was Liam Sheff. Everyone who listens to Health Conspiracy Radio knows Liam Sheff, unless this is literally the first show you ever listened to. So shame on you for listening. Shame on you for being a new fan. You should feel bad about yourself. But Liam talked about growing food and oil, and he was out in Las Vegas. Gave a pretty awesome talk. Showed a movie called The Oil Alarm, which will be available for the public soon. The other guest on the show was Benny Wills of Joy Camp, and we talked about a really off-topic conversation. But I think it was important to talk about, and both shows got the most feedback as far as, like, wow, that was really interesting what you guys talked about. I appreciate your honesty and vulnerability, and that Liam guy, that Lime Sheaf, he was so right about having to grow food. So the topic we're talking about today normally doesn't sound like it would be under a show titled Health Conspiracy Radio, because we're talking about dating and relationships and monogamy and marriage and the scene, how it used to be, how it is today, and just really opinions from three guys who all
are geniuses.
With a capital G. So, Liam, let's start with you. You were over the other day, and I said, we're going to do this show, and you're going to laugh the whole time. Now, we're going to do this show, and it doesn't fall under the guise of health conspiracy, but you said, yes, it does. Why is the dating and marriage and monogamy a health conspiracy, Liam Sheff?
Is it? Hi. God, is this thing on?
It's on and it's waiting for you.
Thing in my face. It's got a male and female part. They're silver. They're looking at me.
It's called a microphone.
Microphone. You're going to be growing microgreens.
Yes, we've grown microgreens to prepare for the oil apocalypse.
I gave a talk yesterday, and I'm showing something called The Oil Alarm. The Oil Alarm is a 16-and-a-half-minute movie that will be available in segments for the public that tells a breezy story about how we caught to be in this place in which everything runs on oil, including the machine that's outside doing construction. Everything runs on oil everywhere. Everything comes on oil. We were in this beautiful room yesterday with J.C.
Jesus Christ Cox from Natural Organic Healings. Natural Organic Healing Center. I don't know what the JC stands for. It doesn't stand for Jesus Christ. But Natural Organic Healing Center is where it's at. And it's he's one of the sponsors for the show, so check that out if you live in Las Vegas on Charleston and Buffalo. But that's where we were.
He's a truly nice guy. We said we were about the same age. And we talked a little about relationships. We were in the back room. I was bartering. I was trading books for the fee. You know, bartering is the way of the future, by the way. Mm-hmm. So I got Asian slaves to print these books so I could give them to him so the mirrors that were constructed somewhere in Malaysia that were on his walls there made you feel that it was a Zen kind of room. And the room felt good. But I said, hey, everybody, you're from Las Vegas. So where is everything in this room from and what brought it here? It's the most important thing in the world. What brought it here? Trucks. Trucks bring everything. Everything that we're in Camp of Joy. We're in the Joy Camp headquarters in Los Angeles right now.
Camp Joy Camp.
We're in Camp Joy Camp with the men of Joy Camp, minus almost all of them except one, actually. We're the most important guys here. I said it. Everything comes on trucks. Everything comes on trucks. And I looked at a mirror and I said, where does this mirror come from? I said, is it local? Did a couple off-duty strippers make it in their free time? They have a glass-making business.
That's not what you said.
You said off-duty prostitutes.
Did I?
Big difference.
Really? Anyway, so let's talk about it. It was a great talk, and I want to thank you for putting it on. People will be able to see The Oil Alarm online, probably as this goes out. There'll be a clip going up. When does this go up?
Wednesday.
Next.
This week.
This week, yeah, there'll be a clip up. So go look for The Oil Alarm online. We're going to talk about relationships, so if you have kids, cover their ears and send them out into traffic or wherever they play. Just kidding about the traffic thing, obviously. Is dating a conspiracy? Is the dating structure a conspiracy? Is our relationship structure a conspiracy? By God, it is, Nick Brannigan. By God, it is a conspiracy.
Wait, can we rewind? Let's not rewind, because I was going to ask what the JC say about his business. I don't want to give JC's business out there, but he recently got married, so I'm going to say that.
He said to me, bluntly and frankly, I waited all my life. He's 43, I'm 44. Said I waited all my life because I wanted to get it better. People are always pressuring you, do this. I said, no, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to wait and see. And I said, good. He's got a kid coming. I know it's going to be a happy, joyous experience for him. I feel like he's just in the right place to handle that kind of thing. He wants to raise a healthy kid. That's what he said. What I didn't say was, in a few years, I didn't say this, I thought it, in a few years, after... not the love is gone, but after the newness is gone, what's the big deal if both of you are allowed to resume the lives of having other friends, of having occasional interests, of being turned on romantically, a little bit sexually here and there, after 5, 6, 8 years? I mean, this is a new relationship. There's a kid on the way. They're not going to really have the energy for anything but kid land for about 5 years, really, 3 to 5. And there'll be no other thought except, oh, my God, is it an emergency? We have to do something with the kid. But after that wanes and everything seems steady and more balanced, you know, life comes back into you after you're a parent. You go, well, wait a second. When I met you, you were so much fun and you were full of, you had this joie de vivre and we were flirting. And I knew you flirted with other people and I certainly flirted with other people. And now we're like this and we're reflecting each other and we're trying to get every single thing from each other because we're afraid that if we don't, we're going to disappoint each other and the church and state from which we begged a license to permit each other to like each other and to raise a child. Does it sound like a conspiracy? You're involving the church, you're involving the state, you're involving an inherited moral system that forbids you from being who you were when you met the person that you like. And I'm going to pause there and pass on the talking stick.
Well, just to recap with Benny, we talked about archons and pornography and masturbation, all the best stuff in life. So what is your opinion, Benny? Do you agree with Liam? Do you think it's a conspiracy? Just based off what Liam says, let's hear your thoughts.
Well, first of all, I want to say how cool it is that the three of us are in the same room having this conversation.
Yeah, it's certainly, yeah.
And yes, I do think it's a conspiracy because it keeps us, the way the system is set up, it keeps us from each other. And I think that's the solution to, one of the solutions to winning this fight, if you will, is connecting with each other and trusting each other and relearning how to be in a community of people. And what this, what these ideas about monogamy and relationships and marriage do is box us in and make us crazy and distance us from other people and make us feel guilty for feeling excited and wanting to experience something for the first time again. And yeah, I think it's a big, big aspect of the control grid that we are all slaves to.
Well, I have a friend. He, oh man, I gotta tread lightly. I have a friend who may or may not be in a relationship, who may or may not have a marriage license, who also may or may not have other women that he sees in his life. And his opinion is when he, things are good at home and he has his Tuesday night girl and his Thursday night girl and his Friday night girl, and he wakes up and he gets text messages from all of them saying, hey, good morning, love you, just want to say have a great day. He feels like he can conquer the world. He can go out in the business world, and he can achieve more than he normally could because of all of the love he's getting from all of the sources. So what do you think? Let's start with you again, Benny, or Benny this time. Do you think, is it the number of women that he sees and has that effect with, or maybe if he had that one strong woman behind him, he would just be just as good as far as having that feeling of I can conquer the world?
I'm not sure I understand the question completely.
Actually, that question didn't make sense. Let's ask another question.
Well, I do have a thought about what you said. Yeah. Maybe it's not the answer to the question. But I think you can have both. I think you can have, I think a guy who has a strong woman by his side, who is his partner, and they, if they want to be in a partnership for life, she can help encourage him and make him a better man. And he can also get excitement and feel excited from other women at certain times. If she's okay with it, if they're open enough to have the conversation about that and trusting each other, you can stay with one person for your entire life, and you can not be with other people if you don't want to. But just having that honesty in a relationship of saying, "Hey, you know what? I love you, but I also maybe want to flirt with somebody else sometimes, and maybe go a little further than that sometimes," and just having the option of having the conversation, I think, would make so many more people, so many more relationships, so much healthier. And for that guy, he could have both. Mm-hmm. The guy you're talking about, he could have his rock at home, and he could have his fun on the side, and they could both be very empowering.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Let's step back a little bit. So Benny, you had a view on relationships, and then you heard Liam's view on relationships. So what was your view before? What was your view on love and relationships pre-Liam, then post-Liam?
Wow, that's a good question. Pre-Liam, well, I guess I, like everyone, most other people, I wanted to find, and I still want to find, a partner who I can spend the majority of my life with. But before having these conversations with Liam about monogamy and the myth and what have you, I didn't think that I could do that without sacrificing the excitement of meeting someone for the first time and going through the process of, like, really falling for someone. And now I feel like that's a possibility. And that was one of my problems with looking for a relationship, is I have commitment issues because I don't want to sacrifice my independence. Mm-hmm. So I rarely have a girlfriend because it's hard for me to let a girl in because I don't want to commit myself to one person like that. So this has opened up my whole world regarding relationships post-Liam. Knowing that I can find a woman who will be my number one partner, and possibly if we are, you know, if I want to, I can have the openness with her because we're, you know, ideally you have your best friend as your partner, right? Mm-hmm. You can, I can also still experience other women from time to time, and she can experience other men from time to time if we want to do that, to feel excited and then know that we're still together at the end of the day.
So like a Will Smith, Jada Pinkett type of deal. That's what we're going for.
Well, assuming they're not gay and in Scientology to cure them of their gayness. Word on the street. They are Scientologists, so.
Whatever. Are they Scientologists?
They are. Yeah, they're converts.
Oh, well, never mind. So, Liam, I got this. Here's my solution, Liam. You get married, and you do a prenup where after 5 years we review this, mm-hmm. and we have an out clause. Does that sound like a good idea?
I obviously don't think that you'd ever want to get married except under the favorite tree or then the sacred space that you liked, you know, whether it's the Apple store or under the apple tree or whatever is sacred to you. You know, you go to your sacred place and you say, listen, I love you. You speak a language to me that suits me. I'm 44. I'll be 45 in next May. I always suspected that I wasn't monogamous, and I tried explaining that. In my generation of dating, we didn't have a word for it other than slut and whore, so it was difficult to explain to people. Like, I don't think I'm very monogamous, but I'm the last person to jump into bed quickly. It's all about getting to know people. It's all about relationships. Intercourse, you know, penetrative intercourse is something that it takes. I'm frankly more like a girl than a lot of my guy friends. But like, no, I'm too, you know, I don't want to jump into that. I have to be sure that I like the person. It's a very big open, you know. Benny and I we're both artists. You know, we're both. He's an artist, poet, writer, performer. I'm a writer. I've got poetry in there, but I've got all these other things. Painter. When you're built, I think, and I don't want to speak for him, but when you're a sensitive male, and you expose yourself to somebody, you want to be sure that, like he said, you're not suddenly in somebody's hands who says, okay, babe, I own you now, and okay, let's go shopping, I don't like your clothes, okay, you know, really you should be driving this kind of car, okay, wait a second, remember I was a person before you decided I was Prince Charming or whatever you think I am, and you're a person before I think you're the mother of my children. So I see people now, there are a couple people I take pretty seriously, and they all have different availabilities. You know, they're all at different places in life.
Keep going.
It's just an it's the oil alarm. Do you want to get it?
It's
the relationship police. We're not supposed to be talking about this. When I was with my partner, I'm sorry for the whistling in the background. But when I was with my partner Helen, we had 7 years together, and then she was removed from the planet by the evil people from the other world. Then he's taking care of the alarm. Wow, that really worked. He closed the door and it went away. No, he went to the door, he closed it, the alarm went away. He came back. It's like a silent movie. That was perfect. That was
a silent movie with an alarm.
With an alarm. You know what I mean? It was a silent movie with the oil alarm in it. And I remember we were talking one day and we'd been together and I said, listen, I love you more. Frankly, more than anyone. Some people, you know, you love more. You don't think love is quantitative, but it kind of is. Like, look, I love you more, and if these people disappeared, I'd be sad, but if you disappeared, I would kill myself, you know? And that's the way it was. And I said, but I know that we're not perfectly sexually compatible. We're perfectly psychologically compatible. We read each other's minds. We finish each other's thoughts without you know, we're each other's best counselor, friend, support network. You've seen other people. I've seen other people. What are we? You know, we didn't have the word polyamorous, but I think I was sort of starting to contend and flirt with the word. I said, are we this weird, horrible, freaky, hippie, disgusting thing? We're going to end up living in a house with each other's partners and having to, like, decide whose day it is. I don't want to do that. But I love you more than anyone else, and if you see people, it's fine with me because you come and talk with me about your experiences, and that richness of conversation is frankly what I'm after. So I tell people that anyway, that was a major moment for us, and we talked, and I said to her, do you feel like we're in trouble, like the relationship police are going to come? And we were outside in Walnut Creek, outside of the Bay Area, and we were outside at their fake Italian grotto that they have, you know, their cement Italian grotto. And we were looking at each other and like, do you feel that they're just going to be guys with guns, with lights on the guns, going, hey, put that down. You're not allowed to have a relationship like that. You have to be in a monogamous relationship or you're not. And she said, yeah. But that's the way we went forward. So now I tell people, and of course I love her forever, but she was, she left me to pursue some things while I wait to see her on the other side. So I had to contend with that too. You know, when you lose somebody, I realized that when I lost her in a physical way, she had an aneurysm. Okay. I realized that I just didn't want to be there without her, but she wasn't quite here in the same way anymore. So I went through a period of time where I truly wanted to be dead, and then I went through a period of time where I just wanted to be dead a lot. And then the only thing that kept me afloat was these people that I call friends, and I would talk to them, and they would listen to me, and they would say, "God, that sucks. That's so horrible. I'm so sorry." And I'd say, "Yeah." And then we'd move on to another topic, as though life had this eternal will to go forward, which when somebody dies who you love, you're very angry about that. Like, stop. Do you know the Auden poem? Stop all the clocks. Maybe we'll look it up. But anyway, they read it in Four Weddings and a Funeral, which added a gravitas to that movie that it didn't quite deserve. But it's an Auden poem about somebody dying. You know, stop the telephone. Give the dog a bone to stop it from barking. Stop the planes in the sky. There can be nothing good anymore, you know, once this person is gone. And that's how you feel. And then these people come in, and somehow life is going on in them. And you look at them, you think, is this disrespectful? And then slowly you're re-engaged, and first in sorrow, and then in some shared commiseration, and then in some shared projects, and then in some shared joy. If I hadn't had those people, and I'm talking about men and women who are my friends and a few girlfriends, not at the level of what I had, but if I hadn't had those people, I wouldn't want... I don't know if I'd be here. I mean, and I realized that we're a tribal species, and I'm interlacing my fingers here, like I'm giving some sort of PowerPoint presentation, but it, you know, like Steve, you know, like one of those Apple guys, I'm doing that. But if you look at your fingers when they're interlaced, you know, and you see that we're this tribal thing. If you look at monogamy, you take your two fingers and clasp them together, then you have each arm holding on to another arm with the full strength only of one finger, and you're putting all your strength in, and if it collapses, you've lost everything, every single thing. Now interlace your fingers and pull them apart. One can get loose and you just re-grab it. Another can get loose and you re-grab it. This is what we are. We're a tribal species. We're not this silly
Chinese finger trap.
Thank you. We're not a Chinese finger trap. We're truly tribal. We're here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors and see all. We're that. And that saved me. And as I went through that, I went, oh, I'm not monogamous because we're not a monogamous species. We're a tribal species. And if we lose that, we can die at any moment. We can live inside of a house. If something happens to the person we love and we don't, forgive me, but have backup people, if we truly make one person our crucible, the center point in which we do everything, and we project our psychological needs, and we're constantly disappointed because they don't read our minds, and we're a little sad and they didn't read it right because they came in a happy mood, and how can you be happy when I'm sad? All of that, everybody knows that experience. All of that goes away when you go, you know what, I'm glad you're in a good mood. I'm going to go find my friend who's always depressed because I need to be depressed. Or I'm glad you're depressed because you're always there. I'm going to go find my... You have outlets and you have more people. We're tribal. We're not nuclear.
So does that necessarily need to be with other lovers, or can you just have friends outside of that one-on-one relationship?
Well, I'll answer this and pass on the talking stick. If you're a sexual or sensual person, you'll have other lovers. You can't do anything about it. You'll want to, and the only thing you can do to be a good Christian, which is like, you know, if you're a good Christian, then you have to follow the rules of Yahweh. So you have to start killing people who aren't circumcised today. You have to start killing people
who aren't circumcised.
Who aren't, yeah.
Okay, cool.
You have to start killing people who aren't in your tribe today. That's a good Christian. Don't get me started on religion. If you follow this, you have to, if you follow religion in terms of making a relationship, you have to exclude 99.99999, that's scientifically proven, 99.99999% of the Bible. All the incest, all the murder, all the rapine, all the...
But you know the incest is the best part of the Bible.
He said it with a smile. Say it with a smile on his face. I think he's kidding. So, if you want to know what's good in the Bible, I think every good comedian has said this. But George Carlin said, "You treat others as you want to be treated. Don't kill people." Okay, good. So, why do you need the Bible for a relationship? If you want to have sex, it's because you're a sexual being. Who's not sexual out there? It's in Maslow's base level of hierarchy of needs. He's the psychologist going, look. I'm a therapist, and everybody comes in wanting to talk about sex. Freud was so sexually obsessed that he thought that that was the primary drive of everybody in life. Nothing else. Jung was a little bit more complex. Why wouldn't you have some... And what do we mean by sex? I don't mean penetrative intercourse. It's not the first thing you do when you meet somebody. Why wouldn't you hold hands? Why wouldn't you hold hands with somebody you care about? Why would that be cheating? And if that's not cheating, and you can have emotional intimacy, and it's not an emotional affair, which is outrageously insane to say that, oh my God, you love somebody else. Yeah, I love other people. That's what love is. I'm sorry, I didn't realize I had a love piggy bank. Uh-oh, I only have 5 cents in it. It's all yours. I'll never love anybody again.
So, well, first of all, I want to say I like the idea of having a wedding at the Apple Store. I might do that only if I can get the same Chinese slave labor children to cater it that made my iPod. So that has to be part of the deal.
You have to have nets just beneath the wedding so that they, when they try to kill themselves, they'll be caught.
They'll bounce right back and be able to give me,
to work.
Give me my faux vegan chicken sandwich. So I'm going to ask you this, Benny, because this is something we mentioned earlier. Do you think the problem is monogamy in marriage in itself, or do you think maybe the problem is people who meet and then 2 weeks later they're madly in love, a couple months go by, they're still madly in love, and eventually they find that they have no common interest and they end up hating each other? Basically, people marrying strangers and moving too fast. How do you think that differs just from maybe marriage to one person forever?
Well, the problem is we live in a very backwards society in every regard. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. The system is anti-life. We're living in a system that is anti-life, so that every branch that stems from that root is going to be corrupt and imbalanced. I don't know. What was your question again? I'm sorry.
If marriage is maybe not the problem in itself, but people marrying too fast, basically marrying strangers.
I think marriage is a problem.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't think we should be asking anybody for permission to love somebody and to spend time with someone. I love the idea of a ceremony, mm-hmm. or not a ceremony, but a celebration, let's say, of two people wanting to celebrate that they love each other and having friends and family to share in that celebration. But marriage as a whole is, I think, really flawed and really a prison that we put ourselves in. And we are asking the government to grant us the right to do that, and that's a problem. More people should be not marrying, I think, to solve the problem.
Yeah, I agree with having to go to the state to say, give me a piece of paper, so I am bound to this person forever.
Honestly, that's when I quit Facebook after gay marriage became legal. I did. And it's not that I don't support gay couples, because I have a lot of gay friends. I mean, not that that's some kind of like excuse or something, but seriously, that to me was a step back, because we are saying, we thank you, government, for giving us this permission, when government should have nothing to do with mm-hmm. two people liking each other. And so what that does is give more credit to the government, saying, see, we can have solutions from within the system. See, don't you see? There is progress being made. There is absolutely no progress being made. That's a step back. It's making people not want to fight and acquiesce to the government dictating our entire lives. So gay couples obviously should be allowed to spend as much time together and spend a life together if they want. But the legalization of gay marriage just puts more support towards the system, and I'm not in support of that.
That's a good point. And I know there's I don't know too much about it, but there's a movement of people who are together, and they're calling themselves married, but they are not seeking permission from the state. Mm. So a woman might want to change her last name to a guy that she's with last name without paperwork involved, and that kind of makes more sense. So how do you see it? Okay, I meet a woman.
Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
What if I love a woman very much and I want to put her name in my name? I mean, what if I do, you know?
What name could possibly be better than Chef?
I'm just saying, what if I loved her so much and I wanted to? Why don't we have matrilineal names? Because even a woman's name is her father's name. Mm-hmm. So who cares? I mean, why don't we just call ourselves, you know, sons of the patriarchy, you know, something like that, like children of the patriarchy. Or why don't we start naming ourselves out of what we do, like Writerson or Actorson or Radioson?
Nick Radioson. I like it. Let's go for it.
Okay.
But when I meet that special woman, is her name going to be Radioson?
No, it'll be whatever she does.
So it's going to be Taylor Swift.
Is that your girl?
That was a joke.
I'm sorry. You got Marilyn Monroe.
Going to be Taylor Singerson.
Singerson.
Taylor Singerson.
Taylor Singerson.
So okay. So
marriage is a construct, right? Mm-hmm. We're not a monogamous species, and no anthropologist will tell you that we are. We emerged through 200,000 something like that years of being foragers. We didn't marry. There's no concept anyway of a marriage where you ask somebody in the tribe that can we live together forever. And there was no concept of together forever for life with a person. There was the concept of tribal identity. You have your tribal identity, which you'll always have. But within that tribal identity, you may like, and I don't mean in the biological sense, but you may like some of your tribal brothers and sisters, not your actual brothers and sisters, but your tribal brothers and sisters to make a baby with mm-hmm. or to do a project with. I consider love very project-oriented. When I fall in love with someone, despite what Stevie Wonder said, he said, I believe when I fall in love with you, it'll be forever. You always love the people that you love, but there's something that you did with them, and things don't last forever. You do the project, and then the thing, and if the project is kids, that's always your project. It's not kids plus a home business plus my only romantic interest in the world. I have an interest with a partner now that I'm working on building, clearing some land, building some yurts, and doing a permaculture education center, right? And I've told her, I really like her. She's a wonderful person, but I've said, you're free, you know, I really like you, and I expect that you'll have other romantic interests in your life. Why should I imagine that because we like some things about each other that I have to say?
How did she respond to that?
Curiosity. A few questions like, what do you mean? Am I not important? Or do you just get to have sex with anybody you want? And I said, no, I don't actually have... I have intercourse very infrequently for talking about sex a lot because the person has to be a deep and interesting... human being who I have a lot in common with, you know, but I need to be open to being able to let new people into my tribe, and I can't have a fake line in the sand that says, I can't talk to you, somebody else once had sex with me recently, a year ago or 10 years ago, so I can't talk to you, I'm sorry, I really like you, and I think we have an intense spiritual connection, and I know that you do different things, my project with you would be different, we would do an art project rather than a yurt project, or we would do even a child... I don't mean to call children projects, but sometimes you come into the world and you say, I want to be a parent. Some people want to be parents. You're a parent. You're a good dad. I didn't have that desire. It's so slowly coming to me in my 40s that it might be interesting. But people want that desperately. I know young people like, I want to have a kid. Like, that's a project. You don't have to find a good person to have that kid with. And then expect that you'll have other interests through life, and you won't go so crazy, and you won't have that betrayal. Oh my God, you betrayed me! Everything we built is fake. No, it's not. You did your project. Keep raising that kid.
So, I like it. I like it. This is what I'm curious about for you, Benny. So you seem like you're closer on the page with Liam. You don't see yourself maybe being with one person forever, having that openness. How do you, I don't know if pitch is the right word, how would you pitch that? You meet a young lady, you guys have common interests, you both find each other attractive, you date for a period of time, or do you date for a period of time, then maybe you bring this up. When do you bring this up? How do you pitch it to a new potential love prospect?
One of my new realizations is that I'm done dating. I'm no longer dating anybody. I'm going through something right now. I'm experiencing something right now. It's unlike anything I've ever experienced. I am seeing a female who is in a committed relationship who's engaged to be married. And we became friends right after, I mean, anybody who listened to our previous interview knows that I got my heart broken mm-hmm. back in April or May. And then this girl, the girl who's in my life now, came into my life, and she became my friend. We became really close, like best friends. And I'm also really good friends with her boyfriend, who's a great guy. And after 3 or 4 months of hanging out, she told me that she had feelings for me. And it kind of made me realize that I had feelings for her, too. And maturely, the three of us talked about it, and she got the permission, I guess, from her boyfriend to explore it with me. And we are totally in love with each other. In love. but with no expectations, with no end game, with no, you know, planned, with no, there's no tension. I'm not expecting anything from her. We are completely immersed in each other when she's here, and then when she's gone, she's gone. And it's beautiful, and it's exactly what I needed. And what I've learned from that, amongst many things, but it's going so well now because we took that time to get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Those 3.5 months we just spent hanging out, doing whatever, talking, doing yoga, experiencing each other as people, rather than putting chemistry under a microscope and going on dates. Mm-hmm. We weren't meeting at restaurants and seeing whether or not we had chemistry, whether or not we had things in common. I think that's the problem. I think dating is a problem because there's no context to get to know the person. It was so easy to have a relationship in college or high school because you're guaranteed to see the person the next day. You're going to wake up and go to class with this person, and you're going to both be working on something that has nothing to do with your relationship. And then, boom, all of a sudden, you're like, wow, I have feelings for you. I have feelings for you, too. We're in love. And it was easier to have a relationship that way because you weren't putting it all under a microscope to see whether or not it was meant to be. And I think that's the problem with dating. We put so much emphasis on whether or not this person's the right one. You're not actually living in the moment and just experiencing them as a human being.
So do you think maybe being friends with this person first, because what I find when you date somebody, you get to know them, you get to know them, eventually the mask comes off and you see who this person truly is. Oh, this person, 33 minutes, this person's kind of an a-hole. This person's kind of a bee. What happened? You weren't the sweetheart that from last week. So being friends with this person, that pressure wasn't there, you found.
Yeah, well, I'm approaching every woman I meet now that I'm attracted to as wanting to be their friend. My intention is to be friends, because the worst that you get out of that is a new friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the worst case scenario. Or you don't work as friends, but you don't have to worry about being rejected as a lover. And if you like the person and maybe there's not the sexual chemistry, you don't lose the person altogether because there's no sexual chemistry. You can just be friends. So I think that's my new approach forever. I'm going to stop dating because I hate dating. I've wasted so much money, so much longing, heartache, waiting for text messages, bullshit. And now I feel so free. I can just approach a girl if I like her and see if she wants to hang out with me and not have anything on the line. And it's so refreshing, and it's such a relief.
You know, that really is a good point, because that's how I did it for the longest time. And then I know you had that experience. I had a similar experience where you met someone, it went good really fast, and it ended the next day. But I didn't take the friends approach first. And it hurt when it ended for a little bit because it was very abrupt, and I can see why it ended.
And that's the best thing about this – well, not the best thing, but one of the great things about the girl I'm seeing now is I know that this isn't going to last forever, and that's okay. So it's a lesson in how to live in the now,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're experiencing each other to as much as we can while we're together, and it's beautiful. And I know that once it stops, we'll still be friends. I just know that. There's no – even though it might be painful or a little sad or something, I'm not going to lose her as a person, and that makes me feel so good. And it makes her feel really good. It's liberating.
Yeah, and I think the expectation aspect of it, because that's all. I live life where I don't have I expect to be happy, and that's pretty much let everything else work itself out. But I know when it comes to dating, we have a different approach. Well, we have this in common. She eats the way I do. She's into fitness, too. She does this and this. Like, maybe something's going to come out of this. Maybe we'll get married, and then we might have a kid together. Oh, my God. And then you know, something happens. You know, you tell her something that makes her feel uncomfortable, or she gets the wrong impression about something, then, that day we had, let's not have that. But that all comes down to what we expected out of it. But when you had that experience that led to the Archons video, like, what was that made that different? Because you had these high expectations, you thought she was something different.
Oh, man, well, that's a long story. What led to, you know, I should have trusted my instinct with that one. It was my own fault. I was, I met a girl at a festival. She put me in her crosshairs. I felt her pursuing me, and she is a beautiful girl. She was former Miss something from another country. I don't want to expose her identity, but gorgeous, you know, a 10.
European or South American country?
South American?
Yes.
So how do you say no to that? But I waited. I saw who she was. I saw that she was somewhat famous, and she was a model, and my instinct was danger, 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 danger. And I couldn't, I should have, instead of listening to that voice, I gave in to the impulses, like, well, this is, I know this, she's so hot, I have to explore it. Mm-hmm. And she likes me. So I did, and we actually had sex the first night we hung out, which was also probably not the best approach. But I also, I just didn't handle it well. I thought, she's going to be gone some sooner than later. I want to get what I can while I can get it. So my approach was to have sex with her the first night, which isn't a great approach. So we started off, you know, in this explosive, passionate way. Where do you really go from there? And I'm being a sensitive guy. I completely fell head over heels for this girl after one night. I was just like in love with her, and then she bailed. She totally got out. We were together for a couple of weeks, and then she bailed, and it was devastating. And that experience is, wow, really, it was traumatic. But it also really opened my eyes up to my own impulses and my own habits, and it also brought out some great artistic projects out of me, which is, I mean, I filtered it in an artistic way, not only with the video, but through some poetry. And also, it enabled this experience that I'm having now with this current girl to be so stress-free. And so there's a lot of silver linings. I'm straying from whatever point I was making, but that's the story.
No, it's, yeah, go ahead, Liam.
No, I like everything you said. I want to add, there are difficulties, so let's play devil's advocate a little bit. Now, some people in the audience are saying, you just haven't found the right one. Of course, there's no right one. We're complicated people, and sometimes in life you have one who's good for a moment. I understand any statement. Sometimes somebody who's just very beautiful comes along, and you're like, okay, do with me what you will, O Lord, O universe. You know, I can't refuse this. So sometimes you give in. Again, it's not a great idea to have sex the first night because you just don't know the person well enough. And it's very brave of it. It's frankly wise and brave of him to say that because it's so hard. It's so difficult. You're a guy, right? You're young and you're still full of testosterone. It's like, geez, when does this come along? You know, we're dopey guys. I think we mostly see ourselves as we were when we were 12 or 13, just total dorks, you know? And like this girl comes up and she seems to be a goddess. And she lands on Earth, and she goes, I favor you. Okay, what do you want? I'll do everything you want. And then it's fun, and she's willing and enjoying it, and you're like, oh, my God. And then the romantic stuff starts going in overdrive, and your eyes bat. We could have everything together. We'll have sex every day, and it'll always be great. And we'll grow stuff, and it'll be fine. And then you come back down to Earth. Like, oh, she's a person, and she also sees herself as the 12-year-old version of herself. And she sees herself as a dork or a gork, girl dork, or whatever whatever she feels like inside. And her insecurities take her. And if she's that beautiful, she's been that beautiful for a long time. And guys have been preying on her for a long time. Mm-hmm. So she's been pulling, okay, a little, and then I'm running away. A little, then I'm running away. You know, that's the beautiful person game. Or they're narcissists, or they're something. So it takes a while to get to know people. I have to say that at my age, everybody... It's rare to find somebody who's not married. And I have definitely been wildly in love with some of my friends who are married. And we have conversations about it. And it's like, well, I love you. I'm not going to break up your relationship, but I love you. Yeah, I love you too. I love you back. You're very special to me. And we would have a relationship under other circumstances. Excuse me. That's a real life... conflict, and one has to decide how you're going to deal with it. You either say, well, screw it, I'll just have this affair, or you say, look, and here's what I say, look, I really do, I do love you, you're wonderful, and you enliven my world, and you are such a deep friend. I have a friend I'm thinking about. You enliven my world, and you're such a deep friend, but I cannot cause havoc in your home. So what shall we do about this? And I always bring forward the concept of, can you talk to your partner, who you've been with for a long time, about this, and discuss the possibility of giving each other a little more breathing room? Because I'm not here to replace him as father and all this other stuff. I'm in your tribe. I care about you. If anything happened to him, I'd be there for you. If anything happened to you, I'd be there for you. So it's an enlargement of a tribe. can a guy who's with somebody, they've been together, let's say, 10 years, 15 years, can a guy who's been with somebody for a while, the magic is a little bit faded, they got a couple of kids, say, you know what, Liam, you're all right. I know that she likes you. You guys can have your thing. What are the rules? What are the parameters? You're not trying to... No, I'm not trying to replace you. I'm this crazy artist traveling, building yurts, and, you know, I want to be out in the world doing wilderness, essentially, you know, farming at this point. So, no, I'm not here to replace. Can that conversation be had? It's not been... it's been really challenging. It's been really hard. And I had one friend who I wanted to talk about this with, and she tried to talk about it with her partner, and he only went so far as to allow her to have other women in the relationship, of course.
Nice.
And she said, I can't. And I said, okay, you can't. You know, what can I do? You know, you can't. You can love a lot of people, and you can tell them that you love them, and that's better than the Bridges of Madison County approach, where you sit, if you know that book and movie, you sit there all your life going, oh, I really love you, and I'm going to not tell you, and I'm going to be noble for that. I love you, and I won't tell you. No. If you love someone, tell them. This great joy and beauty that you have, you come up, you go, you're a wonderful person. Wow. I adore you. I'm attracted, and I adore you. You're wonderful. So I do that first part, and then you have to negotiate what's second. I'm so impressed with Benny's situation, and these people, I assume they're in their 30s?
We're all exactly the same age. We're all 31.
That's fascinating.
Hey, so let me stop for 1 second, because this is going to end the Natural News Radio portion of the show. So if you're listening to this on Natural News Radio, go to healthconspiracy.com and hear the extended, uncensored version that we are going to continue with right now.
Hey, y'all, are you looking for Corolla? Some chocolate superfood with organic vanilla. Food-based vitamins keep you a healthy fella. Use your wife's credit card, don't even have to tell her. Go to Natural News Store, that's what it's there for. Get your superfoods, herbs, and a lot more. Feel young like you did before. And let Mother Nature's medicine work it like it's there for. I know you care for your health, therefore. Don't eat those GMOs, throw them out the back door. Don't stay poor with the diet if it's killing you. Enjoy your life with nutrition that's filling you. We got freeze-dried fruit that's organic. Super clean, superfoods, best on the planet. Blueberry, strawberry, even pomegranate. Yeah, it's ready to ship. And if you buy it, you can have it. Yeah, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Check out store.naturalnews.com for all your organic supplements and superfoods. Or call 888-959-6415. That's 888-959-6415 to order now. Coconut, maca, spirulina, goji berry, superfood protein.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Again, go to healthconspiracy.com. Get the uncensored extended edition where we say a lot of four-letter words because we're grown-ups and we're allowed. But, yeah, I know that's kind of off-topic for Health Conspiracy Radio, but it is health-related. It may not be nutrition or have to do with the body, but it's mental health, it's emotional health. You know, Liam explained how he feels it falls in the conspiracy realm, and I tend to agree with him. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Please support the sponsors, and thanks to them, Vegination, Natural Organic Healing Center, Dr. Soumya Sridharan, Global Healing Center, the affiliate links on healthconspiracy.com, and I will see you all next time.